Something I am itching to scratch. Not only real estate and rental prices that keep skyrocketing, not only the interesting happenings in the workforce, but I'm a yoga instructor. I'm a practicing yogi, always learning and growing and doing my best to learn and grow, to live as a yogi lifestyle, quote unquote, on and off the mat. I'm not one of those yogis that you'll see doing inversions and flipping off of tables. I'm not one of those yogis that you'll see teaching retreats, at least not yet, on, seaside every weekend. I live in the Midwest. It gets cold here. And I know so many beautiful yogis who also live here and in the area or in colder places. But of course, social media kicks in. And there are a few things that I want to talk about, because I don't really talk about, in a lot of these conversations, I talk about current events, but not so much related to yoga. And just a side note, this isn't to, talk down or bad for any yogis who have had the time and work and patience and skills and whatever else you want to call it to grow their practice, grow their fields, get to where they are, let go of everything. Everyone makes sacrifices. But it's just to bring, of course, awareness and acknowledgement that, especially online, there's these constant places that offer these retreats that say, bring your yogis here. This is going to be amazing. They're on these beaches. They're in islands. There's sunshine. There's palm trees. There's, culture, all these things. And there's not a lot of people a lot of the time, actually, on the retreats that I noticed, who are naturally of other various cultures. Not always, but sometimes. But there's also this thing where yoga, this can go so many ways and routes. Yoga in the mindset, at least from what I gained from my experiences going through school and their stories and the history, when you get the history of yoga, was that yoga is for everybody. Everybody can practice it. Everybody can learn to meditate. It doesn't cost a thing. Back in history, you would see these people performing yoga in the middle of the streets to promote it, and yeah, they'd do breath work or they'd show off their skills of their flexibility and whatnot, but that was just kind of the sparkle. And then they would, teach people. It's not just putting your leg behind your head. It's so many other things. And when I meet various yogis, there's so many different ways to get to different places. I taught a class yesterday where I'm very flexible through my upper body. My lower body, it takes about 3 hours of practice, 3 hours of consistent stretching and practice. And in the same day, same time, for me to be able to get down into certain positions and do certain things with my lower body. But I taught a class yesterday, where one of my practitioners could easily, she was more flexible in things in her lower body, but she couldn't exactly get her upper body to do as mine would. And that's just is one little example of many of how our bodies are different. And there's no reason to compare oneself to another. There is no reason to think that you can't do yoga because of this type of thing. There's just no reason at all. So with that though, another thing that I find in the community, and you have to just not compare yourself to that, like anything, it's like when they promote, certain people and body styles and whatnot on social media. Like, we could all look like that. And I mean, if you're put in a spotlight and you get your hair done and they put a spray tan on you, we'll all get 1,000 likes, but it's just that we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to that, and be grateful for the bodies that we have. But also, something in the yoga community that I learned was that with yoga being for everybody, money shouldn't hold you back. And I remember years ago looking at yoga programs. This was before I was certified, as, you know, having my certification to teach in the 200, 500, 300, whatever. It was so expensive. So many people were going overseas, were going out of town, $10,000, you know, 6 months in. And it was like they wanted this. They were saying, like, yeah, pay all this money and come here to this wonderful place. You're not going to have a job for 6 months, but then you'll go into the yoga community and be able to travel through the yoga studios and work all over to gain that experience and money back. But a couple things are missing there. Okay. I guess right there it kind of puts it in a box where if you're able to quit your job, take your money, put everything into the yoga and leave for 6 months or to a year or whatever it is that the original studies programs were kind of promoting at the time, or 3 months, 2 months, whatever, a month, whatever. Good for you. Maybe then that person was lucky enough to not have to go through school to get loans to then, you know, get the job or search for a job and have savings. But that is not, there are still a lot of working class people. And a lot of people don't have that. And a lot of those programs at that time that I found were not offering payment plans. Now, fast forwarding ahead, we hit our interesting times and everything shuts down. And all of a sudden, prices on, well, other than groceries and toilet paper, prices drop on a lot of online programming, a lot of online educational programs. Beautiful, like actually allowing people to be able to afford getting their yoga certifications, teaching certifications, cuts the price totally down. I understand if you're getting an original certification because it is a lifelong journey. Yes, it's going to be a little bit pricey, but all of a sudden, all these pricing plans were available, and a lot of people were getting their certifications, not even just in yoga, but Zumba, Pilates, silver sneakers, associate's degrees, high school diploma, you know, like all these different things. Now, as society is claiming that we're back to normal and is forcing everyone, saying, oops, sorry that we messed up and took all your jobs away and now you're homeless or living in your car or you have no job, but let's push you back out in society, hurry up, get you a job at the local place, maybe Taco Bell, maybe a restaurant, whatever, doing whatever you're doing, factory, I don't know, whatever you find. And let's put society back normal and welcome New York City back normal, even though California is still burning, and welcome you going back outside, even though there's all these interesting happenings still being all over the place. And also, let's skyrocket our prices even higher on real estate, rental, continue to hire up in groceries, which I'm not mad about it being at dairy, no offense, because less people are eating meat and dairy when the price goes up. So, yeah, let's help those animals get healthy lives and not just be murdered for nothing, because we overkill in America. Let's talk about that. That's a different story. But, and everywhere, actually, not just America. But also, I've noticed once again, the yoga community went from, and this is my experience, went from, yes, we're open to all, let's help where we can. And this honestly, I feel like was all over the board. Anyways, America was not good at helping everyone at interesting times anyways. But it was, you know, in general, we've seen the whole society went from compassion to love to helping one another to nope, prices back up. Oh, we have payment plans now, but they're still tripled back up. Oh, we have, you know, maybe some grant money, but nope, not really, not anymore. We gave it away to all the franchises and big business. So what the awareness brings us to today, and I think I don't even know what I do with some of their podcasts because I'm just, I think some of them got deleted. I don't know. So this is the topic for today because it's been on my mind. It's been ticking a bit, is how can we bring back or hold on to and keep that compassion going that people had in the beginning of the interesting times about a year and a half? What is it? A year and a half? 2 years ago almost now? How can we get people to understand that there are still, yes, people are slowly trying to figure things out or have adjusted to the adjustments of moving and displacing or going back home or whatever, kind of as I did on my own, due to interesting things. Used up all my savings, couldn't stay where I was, moved back home. Thank God I had my parents, because a lot of people did not have that option. But also, how do we then get other places to understand and see that just because people are registering and forking out money still to seek out this higher power. Maybe they're saving and doing these payment plans, but that the way these things are going is not allowing it to be for everyone. The way I see yoga, as we speak of keeping that history, and these people may mean well, and of course if you can make more money, you're going to keep pushing your prices and whatnot back up, but or maybe you're trying to get rid of a certain people and style out of your program. That's another story too. But it makes the most sense to be able to just, I think, sometimes learn from history and keep certain aspects of history and culture. And in that yoga community and culture, it was yoga is for everyone, truly inviting to all. And even though I do love that all these new styles of yoga have come out, it's so wonderful because those people who aren't flipping, doing headstands and flipping off couches and inversions, you know, as easily as the next person. There's children's yoga and restorative and yin and hatha and hot yoga and, you know, Iyengar. There's all these styles. There's fitness. There's Pyo. So if you're not able to flip off the couch, that's great. But we need to keep that mindset in mind that yoga in history, go back to that history. Know that it is for all. And there are many different styles of teachers. I am a teacher that does 100% donation based. You know, and that is my choice. I understand this. And other people make their choices. But if you are a teacher or you have an offering or you want to share, and I understand people have bills to pay, blase, blase, blase. But I guess I truly believe, and I get more into past the yoga being a fitness thing. I really live that lifestyle. And that's what I'm saying. This more goes towards those who are saying to live that yoga lifestyle on and off the mat. Doesn't mean you have to be poor living in a box, but it's just having that awareness that not like to say that and then to show in your programs or your culture or your environment, even not just financially, to not really be for everyone, to look at the one tan person that's entered the program or to only look at someone's finances and say, too bad, this is not for you because you can't give us $10,000 up front or you can't give me $300 a month. Like, we are still, and even before interesting times, like, I believe a lot of people who may have been interested, like myself, in yoga years ago, yes, we grabbed on and took advantage of those lower prices because that we could finally learn that history and gain that knowledge, then to go on our own if need be and seek out the rest of the knowledge and learn in the spirituality aspect and whatnot of yoga. But for others who haven't gotten to that point, we need to keep in mind these people and to want to be considerate of them and take into consideration all of their history, their life, that they shouldn't be locked out, even though the world tends to lock out people due to man-made money. And it just shouldn't be like that. So that is my awareness today. To just think about, as we're going in, to find more compassion, to be open to if someone is unable to have $300 a month, to have $500 a month, to have $10,000, $5,000, $700, $1,000 a month. And someone could say, well, then maybe that's not the program for them. But if that whole entire culture and being is doing that, one, do you expect to keep growing in that culture? And how are you really living the truth behind the history of the starts of yoga?